Turn with me to John's first epistle. First epistle of John, chapter 4. If you would you stand with me this morning as we read from God's Word? First John chapter 4. Verse number 1. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God. Because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. Well, that's simple, isn't it? And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is it in the world. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. 1 Timothy chapter 4. First Timothy chapter 4, beginning there with verse number 1 as well. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. Father in heaven, we thank you for your word this morning. We pray, Lord, today that you would help us to glean from your word the truths that you would have us to hold. Pray that you would give us the anointing that is necessary. Give me the anointing that I need, my lips, my mind. Pray that you would give me the anointing to speak clearly and be understood. I pray, Father, that you would also once again give us the anointing to our ears and to our heart, that we might be receptive to your word. And Father, what you do for us, we'll humbly bow and give you the praise, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. In September of 07, just 2 years ago, I preached a message somewhat similar to this. It was entitled, Be Careful Who You Follow. And it was basically drawing from 1 Kings 13, Brother Snyder referred to it in his Wednesday night service just a couple of weeks ago, about the prophet that came out of Judah to Jeroboam. And he was told not to dwell, not to spend any more time over there in Bethel, but to go and deliver his message and get right back. And somebody came to him and said that he too was a prophet of God. And God told him to tell this prophet to come over to his house for something to eat in fellowship. God had expressly told the prophet from Judah not to do any of that. But he went ahead and went with this other prophet. Only the next day he was gone. His life was taken from him. Be careful who you follow. This morning I want to look at something similar to that and title it, Be Careful Who You Listen To. Be careful who you listen to. You see, it's a vital aspect, not only in the day that we're living, but apparently it was a vital aspect in the day that this was written. Just within a few short years of Christ's life here on this earth, they were dealing with the spirit of Antichrist. I don't know to what extent it may have been in that day. It seems to me that through the process of time that has gone, that the spirit of Antichrist would increase. In my thinking, I would think that the spirit of Antichrist is more prevalent today than it was then. I don't know that to be a fact. But I do know that they had to deal with the spirit of Antichrist. We have to deal with the spirit of Antichrist. We have to be careful who we listen to. John is warning us in this passage, in his epistle here in chapter 4, believe not every spirit. Now, if you notice, you'll see that word spirit is probably, in your Bible, a small case S, meaning that it's something that is a feeling or a sense, or in the spiritual warfare that we're fighting, as we talked about last week. It's something that we can't see. It's not the Spirit, the capital S in the Spirit of God. We have to be careful that we don't believe every teacher that claims to be sent of God. Now, everybody who claims to be a teacher in the religious sense is going to be professing that they have the inspiration of the Spirit. You're not going to find somebody, probably not going to find somebody, I better add that word probably, you're probably not going to find somebody who's going to stand right up and say, I am not inspired by the Spirit of God. I have a spirit of Antichrist. It's not going to be that blatant for us. Now, there may be someone somewhere that will attempt that and try that, but the likelihood of them pulling something over on you and I is pretty slim. Because we'll automatically just turn away from that, won't we? You know, it doesn't matter what they have to say. If they profess that they are not of God, we're just going to automatically walk away. We're not going to have a whole lot of time to listen to such things. But we have to be so careful that the influence that we are allowing into our lives is an influence that comes to us from capital S, Spirit. From the Spirit. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly. The Spirit speaketh expressly. I believe you'll find that in the passage that we read here in 1 Timothy. Expressly. I don't know, do you have an idea of what that means? The Spirit speaketh openly. The Spirit speaks with His manifestation. Let me just back up here for a second. We sang that song this morning that we've been singing since we were little kids. Jesus loves me. How do we know that Jesus loves us? Oh, I know. The chorus said, because the Bible tells us so. That's good. We're glad for that. I'm not going to in any way belittle that. But how do we know that Jesus loves me? How do I know that He loves me? Sister Ruth's over here tapping on her breastbone here, signifying her heart. I think's what she's saying. Right here, down in the heart. You see, there's a spiritual discourse that can go on between an almighty God and an insignificant creation. He speaks expressly to our heart. He speaks to us personally. He shares with us individually. I was praying this morning right over here in the church as some had gathered in for prayer meeting, and that thought came to me. Lord, I'm so glad that I can know that You are either smiling or frowning on my life. I'm glad that I can know that. Because He speaks expressly. He speaks to us personally. That comes to us by way of the Holy Spirit. Now John is writing here, and actually Paul's writing here to Timothy, and he uses this little phrase in latter times. That in the latter times some shall. But don't get him wrong here. Don't get to thinking that he's referring to just the year before Christ returns. Don't get to thinking that he's referring to just a short period of time before the Antichrist appears. But really, he's just talking about the latter time, those times that are following the time that Christ lived. Because they were dealing with it even at this point right here, where Paul is writing to Timothy. They're dealing with it within just a few years of Christ's death and resurrection. There were people who were coming around claiming to be the Christ, or have the Spirit of Christ, but they were going in another direction. And he also goes on in that same verse saying that some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Now, I think the context here would tell us that this word faith has to do with what we believe. And it's important what we believe. And I might preach on that sometime in the near future. Be careful what you believe. It's important what we believe. The faith that he's talking to, really, in its truest context, has to deal with the doctrines that we believe, that we hold dear, the faith that we have. How is your faith? I'm not talking about your faith in believing that God can do and perform wonderful miracles. I'm just asking, how is your faith this morning? How is your faith? How is your belief system? What are you standing on as the doctrines that you hold dear? What are those doctrines? Do you still hold to those doctrines? Are you departing from the faith? Adam Clark gives us an indication, though, that it could possibly have a much more broad spectrum as to what that faith might entail. And I believe that it could. I believe that there is a more broad of a spectrum than just simply holding it to the orthodox faith that you and I would hang on to. Adam Clark suggests that this is renouncing the whole system, in effect, by bringing in doctrines which render its essential truths null and void, or denying and renouncing such doctrines as are essential to Christianity as a system of salvation. That's probably a little deeper theologically than what we're really wanting to deal with in our mind on a Sunday morning. But just bringing in small, little, insignificant changes that will change the outcome of what we're believing in and what we're holding to, and be steadfast in the faith with. Now, Adam Clark went on to say that a man may hold all the truths of Christianity, You know, all the truths of Christianity. What would that be? That the blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth from all sin. When a person confesses his sin and repents of his sin and turns from his sin. You know, these essential truths that we hold very dear in this religion of Christianity, following Christ. A person may hold all of the truths of Christianity and yet render them of none effect by holding other doctrines that counteract their influence. You see, we live in a day, really, we live in a day, and I can't go back and say that they didn't live in this same kind of a day, but I know that we live in a day when we can hold truths of God's Word very dear to our heart, but because of all the influence that we allow into our life from radio preachers or some of the books and material that we would read, that we begin to tear away a little bit. We still hang on, but we're really not living the way we believed it or the way that we ought to hang on to it. For instance, we're a holiness church, right? We still believe in heart holiness. We still believe in that submission to God's perfect will, His entire will, that surrendered place where we are no longer, as Paul said, no longer I, but Christ dwelling in me. The fullness of the Spirit. We still believe that. We still hold to that. But it's also very easy because of all of the other things that are around us, all the other ideas that are around us, that we can begin to speculate on some things and say, well, this isn't really quite so bad, and begin to do some things that really God's not smiling with. And so we feel a little bit bad about it later and then have a little confession time and be back up. And really what we're living is an eternal security doctrine. A doctrine that is slowly leading us into a path that allows you to sin every day and just confess it at night. Lord, forgive me all the sins I've done today. Boy, that's simple and that's easy, isn't it? That'd be good. The problem with that is that God just doesn't do it that way. He expects holy living. He expects holy living. Depart from the faith. Giving heed to seducing spirits. Now there's some translations, some text would have a change of words there that give it more emphasis than what this one has. Not just giving heed to seducing spirits, but giving heed to spirits of deceit. Just plain and simple. And you say, well, that's not that big of a difference. Maybe it's not in your mind, but it seems to me that it could be a little more emphasis. Spirits of deceit. A spirit that is trying to deceive people. John said that we are to try the spirit. Try the spirit. Put the teachers to the proof. Try them by the testimony that you know has come from the Spirit of God. You know, once again, I am so grateful for the people that I can point to and lean on, if nothing more than in my mind and in my memory, the people that I can point to and lean on that laid down a very clear path to walk in. The path that has been proven leads home. I'm glad for the people in my family that I can follow simply because I know from their life and from their spirit that they had the Spirit of God. Try the Spirit. Test them and prove them by the testimony that has been known to come from, their testimony has been known to come from the Spirit of God. As many false prophets many false teachers who are not inspired by the Spirit of God, and they are gone out into the world. False prophets who are gone out into the world. Now, he just, in John, in this epistle of John here, we find that he deals with something just real basic, something real simple. If this person who is claiming to be a teacher sent from God, but that teacher denies the deity of Jesus Christ, right there, mark them off, right there. That's the first step. That's not the only step. I don't believe that that's the only step that we take. That's the first step. That seems to be the ideal situation that they were dealing with. It was cut and dried. Either you deny Christ or you're not denying Christ. You see, I believe that that was the simplicity of the day. And I believe that that's how things have changed in our day. It's not quite that simplistic anymore. It's not quite that simple. People have understood that this is a basis for beginning. And so they have accepted the deity of Christ, if only in their speech, but then they go and they teach other ways. They teach other avenues. They teach other methods. It takes us being careful that we know that the man or the person that is doing the teaching not only says that Jesus Christ is the promised Messiah come in the flesh from God with his lips, but he also expresses it with his life as a servant of Jesus Christ. Very simply, in verse 3, every teacher that confesseth not Jesus is not of God, has not been inspired by God. Spirit of Antichrist. Spirit of Antichrist. Who are these that have the spirit of Antichrist? Is it simply, as I've already mentioned, is it simply the person that denies the deity of Christ? Not necessarily. There are antichrists who have all kinds of presentations to lead us into a false way. It could simply be the simple criterion by which a person knows that they are of God. What is the simple criterion of Christianity? Somebody help me out. What's the simple... How do we know that somebody loves God? By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples because you love one another. Have you ever been around somebody who professed to be a Christian? Let's just get a little more plain. Have you ever been around somebody who professed to be a holiness person, but it was obvious they didn't love somebody? They had a real problem with somebody. There's a sign. They may profess that Jesus Christ is deity, but if they are not following Christ with what he said, with his teachings, I'm not saying that they're buddies with everybody that has been mean and ridiculed them and verbally slashed them, but love for one another. There are so many ways we could look at this morning. We won't take the time to do it, but there's so many ways for a person to lead a person astray and still hold to the deity of Christ, that he came from God. Antichrist, even now, already in this world, working powerfully among people. But ye are of God. Ye have already been under the influence of the divine spirit. You have already overcome them. Your testimony has proceeded coming from the capital S Spirit of God. You have already seen and already heard and already experienced. You know God. Now, I'm confident this morning that John was writing to church people. He was writing to people who believed, who walked this way, who understood this way. And so I get from that that there is a valid warning to all of us to be careful who we listen to. Hereby know we the Spirit of truth. Hereby know we the Spirit of truth. What about that? Let's look here at what Adam Clark. Now Adam Clark is a different fellow than what we find today. He doesn't mince for words. He goes on to explain a little bit deeper as to what this could mean for us. Listen to what he said. The doctrine and teacher most prized and followed by worldly men and by the gay, giddy, and garish multitude. Boy, he's got some alliteration there. The multitude are not from God. Now that's good preaching right there. That makes them for some good preaching. You know, the preacher can get up here and rip and snort, stomp his feet and clap his hands about worldliness. Worldliness is a bad thing. Listen to what he said where he really lays it to the bone. They savor of the flesh, lay on no restraints, prescribe no cross-bearing, and leave everyone in full possession of his heart's lusts and easily besetting sins. And by this, false doctrine and false teachers are easily discerned. So Dr. Clark is telling us that really if we're paying attention to the way a person's living or a way the person is teaching, that we can decipher the spirit by which they are speaking to us in whether or not they are laying aside the flesh, the innermost, savor the flesh, lay on no restraints, prescribe no cross-bearing, and leave everyone in full possession of his heart's lust and easily besetting sin. Let me flip over here to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. This is a verse that I look to often, especially when speaking, when I have had the opportunity to speak at high school graduations. Of course, that's not public school. I don't think they'd allow me to speak like this in public school. Verse number 10 of chapter 14. There are, it may be, so many kinds of voices in the world. You see, there's a lot of voices that's calling. There's a lot of voices that are calling to us all around us. It doesn't matter what setting you're in, if you're in a public school setting or in a Christian environment. It doesn't matter where we're at. There are all kinds of voices around us. I've known people who have gone to Bible school thinking that they are going into the next door heavenly place. That there's nothing wrong at Bible schools. I'm not opposing Bible school in any way. I hope you don't ever think that. But I also know that that there's a lot of voices. It doesn't matter where we are. We've got some good young people that are at Bible schools. But it could destroy them just as well as it could enhance their spiritual life if they listen to the wrong voice. There was one young man, I'll give this as an example in closing. Young man came to Penview when I was just a child. Back in the days of your aunts, I believe, back in those days. I don't know if they would remember him or not. I'm just going to keep the name from being voiced. A good young man came to school. He came there in his high school years, actually. Some people would call him a goody two-shoes. You couldn't find any guile in him. You couldn't find anything wrong. But there was another individual that came that same year from a different environment, a different home, and a different situation. And he came with the desire to serve God. He came with the desire to get things straightened out and to live right. But because life is life, and the enemy is the enemy, he succumbed to that and became friends with the goody two-shoes, hoping perhaps that this goody two-shoes would help him climb up the ladder spiritually, but in reality he just pulled that one down to where that goody two-shoes should have been dismissed from school because of some of the things that he was involved with. I know those things because I snooped and read things that I didn't have any business reading. It's a confession to my dad if he's listening. I think he already knew that. All I'm saying there is that we have to be careful who we listen to. It's within our grasp. It's within our power. It's within our choice, within us making that decision where we're going and who we're going to follow after. Be careful who we follow. Be careful who we listen to. Be careful. Because there is an end result. If there wasn't an end result, then we wouldn't have to be so cautious and so careful. But there is an end result. The end result is that we want to hear Jesus say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Be careful that you listen to. There's many voices. And Paul said in that verse that none of them, so he's even talking about good voices, could lead us astray if we're not extremely careful. Who are you listening to? Who are you allowing to influence your life? Not just by listening with your ear, as it were, but who are you listening to with your heart by taking in seducing doctrines, spirit of deceit that'll lead us astray? Would you stand with me this morning?